بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بوجز القرآن الشريف حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said learn the Quran and recite it because the example of one who learns the Quran reads it and recites it in tahajjud salah is like an open bag full of musk the fragrance of whereof spreads over the entire place and a person who has learned the Quran but sleeps while the Quran is in his heart is like a bag full of musk but with its mouth closed. As Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, learn the Quran and recite it, because the example of one who learns the Quran, reads it and recites it in tahajjud salah, is like an open bag full of musk, the fragrance whereof spreads over the entire place. And a person who has learned the Quran but sleeps while the Quran is in his heart is like a bag full of musk but with its mouth closed. It means that the example of one who learns the Quran and cares for it and recites it in tahajjud salah is like that of a musk container which if open fills the whole house with its sweet smell. In the same way the entire house is lit up with divine light and blessings due to the recitation by the Hafiz. Even if the Hafiz of the Quran remains asleep or does not recite through his negligence, the Quran in his heart is in any case the musk. This negligence resulted in the loss that others were deprived of the blessings of the Quran Sharif. But his heart does in any case contain the musk of the Quran Sharif. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah has narrated the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He in whose heart there is no part of the Quran is like a deserted house. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah has narrated the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he in whose heart there is no part of the Quran is like a deserted house. The allusion is to a deserted house has a subtle meaning, which is expressed by the proverb that an idle man's brain is the devil's workshop. Literally, the demon gets hold of an empty house. Similarly, a heart devoid of Quran Sharif gets more and more possessed by shaitan. What an emphasis is there in this hadith for memorizing the Quran Sharif, that the heart which has not secured it has been likened to a deserted house. As Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, in the house where the Quran is read, the household members increase, virtues and blessings multiply, angels descend upon them, and shaitan quits the house. Whereas the house in which the Quran Sharif is not recited, life therein becomes straitened and devoid of blessings. Angels leave the house and shaitan ravages the house. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu and some others have reported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have said that a deserted house is one in which the Holy Quran is not recited. Allah ta'ala give us some to make. Social etiquettes. Two people are intentionally sitting together in one place. One should not sit in between them without their permission. If a person comes to meet you, then you should move slightly to offer him place. Even though there is place in the gathering, in this there is some honor for him. Without necessity, with the intention of showing one's superiority, one should not sit in a distinguished place in a gathering. When a person goes to any gathering, then he should not jump over people to reach the specific place. Wherever there is space, one should sit down. Sneezing causes comfort to a person. After sneezing, say, Alhamdulillah. The person who hears this should reply, Yarhamukallah. The person who sneezed should then make the following dua, Yahdikumullah istuhu balakum. When a person sneezes many times, there is no need to continue saying, Yarhamukallah. When a person is about to sneeze, then he should place his hand or some cloth over his mouth. He should sneeze softly. Try and control yawning as far as possible. If it does not stop, then cover the mouth. Do not laugh very loudly. Do not sit arrogantly in any gathering. Speak and smile with those present. Mix with them. Join them in the conversations as long as nothing is spoken contrary to the Sharia.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. صدق الله المعلن العظيم. One point that was read now in the social etiquette, that when sneezing, a person should say, Alhamdulillah. And then the reply, and then the dua on that. However, if a person is, for example, engaged in some ibadat, like reading Quran Sharif, like when we come across the ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي, then while we're reading Quran, we carry on reading Quran. There we don't read Durood Sharif at that time. Like that, when the ayat is read, we should read Durood Sharif. But in Quran Sharif, while we're making tilawat, then we carry on reading. So for example, if a person is making tilawat and a sneeze comes, then he shouldn't say Alhamdulillah. He must carry on what he's reading. And if a person, Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali says, to say Alhamdulillah is sunnat. But it isn't specified whether you should say it loudly or softly. So Maulana says, my habit is to say it softly. Because people who are around, the minute you say Alhamdulillah, now it's wajib on them to say Yarhamukallah. They must reply. And if the person may be in some other work, like you are in tilawat, maybe he is in tilawat, maybe he is in some other work, etc. Now then he has to reply. So therefore, it is preferable to say it softly. But not every time that it doesn't, then the sunnah doesn't even, like when you're quite clear that the people are not going to be, their work is not going to be upset or something, then you should say it loudly. And the teachings, the sunnah must be there. We should say Alhamdulillah. But especially when you apprehend that people are busy, for example, or like if it, even it's at home or year two, the other people are falling asleep and you sneeze. Now you're saying Alhamdulillah. Now they have to again reply to you before they can fall asleep. So that time to say it softly is preferable, seeing according to the occasion. The reply should be then, Yarhamukallah and Yahdiikumullah wa yuslihu ba'alakum. This adab are very, very important. And all of them that we have been mentioned, and quite a bit of explanation is also required, and it's very necessary we learn these adab. We are very, very neglectful about these adab. Further to our talks of keeping a complete roza, the basic roza, as we had mentioned a few times, is what niyat, that is for Allah's pleasure, understanding it as Allah's command. A person stays away, not just out of habit, or not just as our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Adamullah Fuyudhum has written, like a person has got an upset stomach, so he says, I'll keep roza, so my stomach comes again back in order again, because roza is really very good to settle your stomach again. So a person says, I'll just keep roza, my stomach will come in order again. But then that is not for the pleasure of Allah. That was, you did it for a health reason. So even then, even if you want to do it for a health reason, but consciously you make the niyat, I'm keeping it for Allah, and that benefit will come by its way. You don't have to make the niyat for that health benefit. This beautiful example Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave, that there are many things of deen, and in fact everything of deen, everything, even tawheed, everything has got great, great worldly benefits. For example, tawheed, you become independent, you only trust on Allah. You don't beg of anyone. How much respect you get from the people of the world. That this person is in so much difficulty, but he doesn't ask anyone for anything. So that is tawheed. On this, another point comes to mind also, and there is also very important that in the matters of deen, to understand this, there are quite a few. Let's see if any more come to mind. But this one point, like for example, a woman has become a widow, husband has passed away. Now generally in our society, then the woman, they don't want to accept zakat money. They feel it below their dignity to accept zakat money. But they wouldn't mind going out to work, where they'll be breaking so many laws of Shariat. But to accept zakat, they don't want to. Stay at home, what izzat, what respect, and arrangements can be made by the family, the community. We'll give you how much your necessity, so much zakat. That they don't like to accept. They feel it below their dignity. But to go out, to go and work, where all you break so many laws of Allah Ta'ala. And if she's got small children, they're going to be neglected in the procedure also. The children, the greatest they need is the mother's care, the mother's love. Now that also they will be deprived. She'll keep a nanny, etc. So our buzurgs have explained, Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, that such istighna, this is you don't want to take money from the people. Zakat money, you don't want to take, you want to be independent. If that istighna is because of ghalba'i tawakkul, because of your tawakkul on Allah, then that is mahmood. That is very good, it is praiseworthy. And there will be great reward in it. So, and if it is because you're trusting on Allah, so she won't break the laws of Allah, going out to work, etc. She'll work from home, make some things at home, and within the limits of Shariat and Parda, she will try make her effort, no problem in that. But if it is because, not because of ghalba'i tawakkul, but because of her pride, the amal is the same, that she don't want to take zakat money from anyone. But the cause of it makes the whole difference between the two. If it is because of ghalba'i tawakkul, it is praiseworthy and meritorious. But it is because of her pride, then that is taking her to her, it will take her to Jahannam. Because she's got pride in her. It will take her to Jahannam. So there are many things like this in Shariat. The amal will be the same. But the cause, the reason, the niyat of it makes the difference between the two. Which is, innamal a'malu bin niyat. All actions are judged according to their intention. From where did we go? So worldly benefits, whatever amal we do, there are a lot of worldly benefits in all our matters of deen. But if you make those your niyat, then you won't get the sawab of it. You won't get deen. But if you make your niyat, you make your niyat for the pleasure of Allah, then that not only those benefits, more than that also Allah will give you. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has given a beautiful example of this, that for example you have got a farm and you need to fertilize it, and cow dung is very good. So you go and buy a cow in order to get the fertilizer, to get the dung of the cow. So that will be a stupid person. A cow will cost you 5,000 rand, 7,000-8,000 rand just for fertilizer, that you can go and buy so cheap instead of buying a cow. So buy the cow with the niyat that I'll get fresh milk. I'll make cream from there also. And I will make cheese also from there. All the other things. And if the cow is not going to make dung, what is it going to do? It has to make dung. That is, by the way, it has to make the dung. So that you don't have to make the niyat for it. You'll get it just by the way. So in all matters, make the niyat for the deen of Allah, for Allah's pleasure. So on that start at one point. So you keep a roza, for example, and your stomach is upset and you want to settle your stomach, and the best remedy is to keep roza, that you don't eat. So you make your niyat consciously for the pleasure of Allah, and that is at the back of your mind, but don't make that your niyat. And you can do this in this way, niyat for everything. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum has also written, for example, you're making every day Ishraq namaz, and by that time all the people are gone from the masjid, there is no one. So you do it solely for Allah, you're comfortable, you feel nice, only for Allah's sake, and there is nobody seeing also. One day it so happened that two people were left still, and it's the time for you to make your Ishraq, and you saw, oh, these people are here. Now you don't make your Ishraq, because you don't want them to see. So this is Riya. You didn't do the amal, but in your not doing the amal, there is riya. Why are you not making it? To show them that you're not making. So this is riya. So at such times, now what is the solution to it? At such time, you make niyat for Allah's pleasure. Now, shaitan will tell you, you're doing it to show them. That is wasawis. That is shaitan's whisperings. Just ignore that totally. Anything. It comes clearly in a hadith that when a person wants to give money in the path of Allah, if he wants to give a big amount, so what shaitan whispers in his mind? That you want the people to praise you. So don't give. And when you give a small amount, what shaitan tell you? The receipt is more expensive than the amount you give. Today printing cost is so high, so the receipt, so what's the use you giving? You're putting the institution more in the problems, more in debt, putting more in expenses, you're putting them, so don't give. So these are whisperings of shaitan. At such times, you make your niyat clear. You want to give even a big amount, you give it also. Even if you want to do it publicly, like now you announce in front of all, see I'm giving so much, and your niyat, you make your niyat for Allah's pleasure. And others must get encouraged also, that they also give. If that is your niyat, that others must also get encouraged. And in niyat also, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that when a fly is sitting on a mirror, it looks like the fly is in the mirror. But it's not in the mirror, it's outside. The reflection is inside. And it looks like the fly is sitting in the mirror. So like that with niyat, many times, we are not, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. How much we have our capacity, so much we are responsible for niyat, for amal, for everything. Sometimes shaitan puts extra heavy burden on you. Especially those people also with taharat in wuzu, wasawis. They'll keep on washing their hands, keep on washing the face, not 3 times, 10 times, they're still not satisfied. Istinja, they just don't get satisfied. So these are all wasawis. A person must become strong and ignore all these wasawis. And in namaz also, shaitan will come, you only made 2 rakats, you only made 1 rakat, you made 5 rakats. So there also the masail are there. It's easy to handle it and to come out of it. It's not a big problem. So anyway, so these are wasawis. We must ignore wasawis. Make our niyat properly at that time and how much we can within our capability that I'm doing it only for Allah's pleasure. And after that, these thoughts that come. And don't think for other people. Many times we ask questions also that other people will think this. So don't worry what they think. You don't have to think for what they're going to think. You just do it for yourself, you make your niyat clear. And also, ikhlas, our Shaykh Damat Barakatuh has explained this point also very beautifully, that ikhlas is not dikhana haram, dikhana haram hai, dikhana haram nahi hai. To show your amal is haram. But what's the other word? That is to see. To see is not haram. To show is haram. So for example, you making your namaz and people seeing you making tahajjud, not haram. You doing it for Allah's pleasure and the whole world is seeing you making namaz, it's not haram. But you making it, you hiding away. But you doing that, I hope that people will pass my tent and they'll make out that I'm making namaz. So that is for showing. That is haram. And if what many of us think, our Shaykh also says that if people came to know that we are doing this amal, that amal, etc., or all my sawab is destroyed. Or like sometimes, which it commonly happens, that somebody introduces a buzurg, usually people who come, and then they explain that he did this, he did this, his position is this, etc. So ignorant people, they say, oh, my sawab is all gone. Now the people came to know of it. By the people coming to know of it, it's not, it is your insight, whether you want them to know. That is haram. So if this was haram, where the people see you making amal, then namaz with jamaat should not have been wajib also. Then the best namaz should be like the woman's namaz, not only in the house, in the remotest corner of the house. Then we should make our namaz there. Not come to the masjid. Yeah, everyone is seeing you coming to the masjid. But your niyat for Allah's pleasure. You are doing it publicly. Hajj is even more public. Not in front of the people of your muhalla in your town, but in front of the Muslims, in front of the people of the world. All the countries you're going to go. And in fact, there is virtue for putting your ihram on from home. So everyone can see there is a haji who is going. So if your niyat is to show the people, of course that will be haram. But for the sawab, then it is not haram. You put on your ihram from home. You go to O.R. Tambo Airport. Everyone there is seeing that, yes, Haji Sahib is going in his ihram. Everyone knows he's going. But you are not doing it to show. Their seeing doesn't make it haram. And also, another person's act can nullify your act. If somebody praises you, or somebody sees you doing ibadat, that can nullify your ibadat. You can nullify your own ibadat by you making a show of it, by you talking about it, by you asking somebody. Like for example, one friend of ours, he liked to make imamat, but he should tell the imam, he should organize with him that I'll make the imam, no problem. But he says, I will sit somewhere at the back, you must come call me. Now, I'm not just going to come like that you must like sort of force me to come in. So that outwardly everyone will say, oh, that mashallah, he's got so much, he didn't want to make the imam, forced him. But he organized it already, that you must say, it's a drama, it's a show. So Allah knows everything. You can try and fool the people that you'd like bayan. You say, no, I don't want to make. But you organize it. You must force me to make bayan. Then I'll come. And one person, sincerely, somebody told him, make bayan. Maulana, oh, Maulana is here today. Maulana, come say a few words. And happily you get up and you're doing it with sincerity. There is no show outwardly that you're not making the people force you. So even so, Hajj also. If Hajj was that, that the people see you and all your sawab is destroyed, then the order of Allah should be that you should have a small Kaaba in your backyard. Small, you make a small Arafat, Mina, Muzdalifa, and you make it in the darkness of the night when nobody sees you making, and you became a haji. But no, yeah, you have to put on your ihram and you go there, and all your town people there, usually South Africans are all together in their camp. They all say, oh, you also came. Oh, you also came. All know you came for Hajj. So by their seeing you making your Hajj, etc., that is not haram. But to show, if your niyat is to show, that is haram. So those are, that is very important that we understand that. Then niyat in everything we should make. And so wasawis, just ignore the wasawis. And we should, at that time, make your niyat, I'm doing it only for Allah's pleasure. And then refresh your niyat again in the middle of the amal. Again correct yourself. I'm only doing it for... At the end, make tawbah istighfar. Ya Allah, if there was any mistake, you forgive me. And by reading the dua, Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, there is kafara of the majlis, the full dua. A person who reads that, any errors and omissions in that amal, they are Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala is so merciful and kind. Even when a person is trying to read Quran Sharif correctly, and he's reading but he's making mistakes, then just like a person writes an article, and then he gives it to somebody, please check it under any mistakes in here, just check it for me. You check it up, and you correct all the mistakes, now it's perfect. Like that, a farishta Allah appoints to correct that tilawat, and the corrected version he takes by Allah Ta'ala then. So when our niyat is that we want to do everything right, Allah Ta'ala is so kind, He has made the arrangement. One of the virtues, this dua of majlis, kafara of the majlis, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to read it quite often at the end, towards the end of his life. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked her, oh Allah's Rasul, before you shouldn't read this dua so much, now you read it always at the end of a majlis. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Aisha, whatever errors and omissions there are in this amal, then Allah ta'ala, he edits it, he corrects it, and the correct version then, a seal is put onto that. And then on the day of Qiyamah, that amal, the reward of it will be given to that person, and it will be exclusive for him. There are two benefits in there also. One is, it will be exclusive for him. Like for example, if just say we're giving out chocolates here, so we told, usually small boys are put in charge, and you give them two boxes of chocolate, give everyone one chocolate. But for a certain person, you take it out from your pocket, you say, this is special. It's the same chocolate, but you tell him, this is special for you. How honored doesn't he feel? So like that, those amals on which we read this dua, then they become exclusive for you. It is like when we have a ribbon cutting ceremony. In Islam there is no ribbon cutting. But you have something like that. So this person here, he will be the seal, he'll only cut it. The other benefit which muhaddithin discuss, and there are different views, but in all matters, we have learned from our akabir that those which are in which there are more sawab, virtues, we take that view usually. That a person on the day of Qiyamah, the people will come and claim their rights, hukukul ibad, and then they will take away all your amal. They will take, you'll have to pay them, and when you haven't got, you'll have to take their gunas. But on those amal, muhaddithin have written, where this dua is recited, that they won't be able to take. Just like in this world, when a person becomes bankrupt, by the law of the country, there are certain of your assets which they can't take away. Certain assets that are left. So like that, these assets of yours on which you read this dua, those duas will be left for you. Amongst them is also roza, that Allah Ta'ala puts a seal for it, and Allah says it's for me. So your rozas also won't be given away to anyone. So anyway, so these our amal that we do, at the end, make tawbah istighfar again. And Allah Ta'ala, by His mercy, if there was any errors, omissions, and by the barakat of this dua, Allah Ta'ala will forgive, even in the niyat, whatever wrong has come. And also regularly in one of our duas also, which we make especially for ourselves, that Ya Allah, in any of my niyat, if there was any faults, if I faltered in my niyat, You please forgive me. And niyat, a person can make so many niyats, and so great niyats for how many things. Somebody just emailed me, I think it's Maulana Hussein. Ji, mashallah, jazakumullah. About the niyats for tilawat of Quran, all from Ibn Kathir. Ji, how many, mashallah. We will ask Maulana Muhammad Desai, remind me, must translate it, and then see how many niyats we can make. We suggested 5 niyats, but mashallah, how many niyats there are. And also on the niyat itself, virtues of niyat, how important it is to make niyat, and where a person can reach with niyat, that is also mentioned in there. So mashallah, this is all. So niyats are very important. At the end of amal, tawbah istighfar. And Allah loves that amal which ends with tawbah istighfar. Namaz also, the end of it, which is inside namaz, the last, the sunnat dua. Well, there are many people who read the dua also, Allahumma ighfirli wa liwalidayya, at the end. But the sunnat dua is, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. That, and immediately after you make salam again, astaghfirullah 3 times again. So that amal Allah loves a lot. But unfortunately, we make it more just as a custom, that we are used to it. But with the reality of it, and a person for all his life, for all his amal, if he cries to Allah, I couldn't fulfill your rights. That's why my niyat also I couldn't make right. Then Allah loves that amal, and that gets accepted very greatly by Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, rozas also, we make it with the niyat, that for Allah's command. In that, let us also ask ourselves, are we making niyat? Even for our rozas on a daily basis, are we making niyat or not? Many can be easily that we are forgetting to make niyat. Roza will still be made, inshallah. Ulama have given so much tawasso, and that why you got up for seri. That is the proof that you want to make you want to keep roza. So, and you ate your seri, everything, that is your niyat already. But if we make specifically our niyat, there is great virtue. And understand, I'm fulfilling Allah's command. And even if you want to say, oh Allah, it's against my nafs, but it's your command, and I'm going to keep my roza, your sawab will go very high. There is another point here also, which Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has explained very, very beautifully. Normally when a person makes ibadat, and this we find a common question which a satis ask, that you feel nice, you feel happy, your namazas are in order, and you're feeling also nice, then you are quite happy. But sometimes it happens you don't have desire for ibadat. whether it is namaz, you don't have the desire, and you sort of have to force yourself to do it. The desire is not there. And many a person thinks that now Allah's rahmat is off me, that now Allah's tawajjuh is not on me, Allah's rahmat is not on me, so I'm not having desire for ibadah. Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi explained that this ibadah, when you don't have the desire, is most probably more far superior than that ibadah which you have desire and you enjoy. Like for example, there is a young boy, 15 years, and he's just learned to drive. So he is driving crazy. He just wants the steering. Wherever he can get the steering, whatever excuse. Now for example, his father sends him on a Sunday morning to go and buy the Sunday newspaper from the cafe. And it's a rainy, cloudy day, cold also, and he has to go walking. He'll make every excuse. He won't want to do it. But the father says, there's the car key, go. Now he won't go to the nearest cafe, he'll go to the furthest cafe to go and buy it, because he's got the car key now. So now he's also doing his father's work, but he's doing it for his nafs sake, not for his father's pleasure. And the Sunday, I just gave that example, otherwise don't look at the Sunday paper. The Sunday paper is not a paper to be looked at all. It is called in Afrikaans, Courant. So the Quran also we start reading from the right side. So this also many people take the Sunday paper and they start reading it from the right side. And that is the only page they read. They buy the whole paper just for that one page. So that is totally haram. So anyway, so if Allah, you do Allah's command and you enjoy to do it. That is also very good, mashallah. But when you do it and you don't find that enjoyment, that enthusiasm, you don't find it, and you still do it for Allah's pleasure, that, Ya Allah, my nafs doesn't want to, I don't like, but it's your command, and I'm going to do it, that in there, your nafs got no share. When you're doing it, even your whole Ramzan, you're enjoying, you're looking forward to it, and you're enjoying, it is possible that your nafs got a big share in there. And you are doing it for your nafs sake. You are massaging your nafs, you are soothing your nafs, making your nafs happy, you are making your long du'as, you are making your tahajjud, long tahajjud namazes, possibly you are doing it for your nafs, and perhaps you are making a short namaz. Even your tahajjud, you're just making it short because your heart is not in. But I have to do it. My tilawat, I must complete my one Quran. I'm not enjoying it, but it's Allah's command. And you're doing it for, that is 100% for Allah's pleasure. So Allah's test will come in both ways. That when you desire also, then also you carry on doing it. And when you don't desire, then also. And in all cases, put it for Allah's pleasure. Even when you're enjoying, that you may tell yourself, nafs, I'm not doing it for your pleasure. It's my Allah's command. I'm enjoying it. And you became Muslim today, very good for you. That you also submit and you also now, you also enjoying and nafs, you made him a Muslim. And he's also enjoying the dua and enjoying ibadat, mashallah. But when he becomes sarkash and he becomes disobedient and he's going against you, you tell him still, you'll have to do it. Whether you don't like it, whether you like it or not, and you don't want to do it, but you're going to do it. And all what we do is for Allah's pleasure. Then that ibadat is much, much more superior. So rozas also, even if a person more superior, this is more superior in the sense of ikhlas. But when you do it with enthusiasm and feeling, and that also, just be careful you're not doing it for nafs only. Like for example, you give a bayan and for praises of the people. So that you gave it for your nafs. And the nafs enjoys the praises when people praise you, etc. But you gave a bayan and you had to say what you had to say. And the people didn't like what you said. But you did it and you had to say the truth. What is the right thing you had to say? Though nobody liked it and nobody will praise you. But that is more superior. So you do, and you also find it hard to say. What the people are not going to like, but they have to be told the truth. And you say the truth in the most suitable way possible, you'd say it. But you say the truth, and though no one likes it,
they just turned their faces and they walked away. Nobody even said, Jazakallah, you're not worried of that. You did it for Allah's pleasure. That is much more superior. So anyway, our rozas we keep, our niyat we make only for Allah's pleasure. And all the other benefits that come, Alhamdulillah, that is by the way, that is the side effects of our what Allah Ta'ala gives us. And then we abstain from our food, our drink, and our sexual desires. With niyat, and from before sunrise, before Subah Sadiq, until sunset, till that time, then that is your roza is done. But that is the basic roza, the faraz roza. Now to beautify it, and to make it complete, we have to keep roza of the eyes also, which we discussed. And in the roza of the eyes, we don't look at any haram, and at the same time, we don't look down upon anyone. Roza of the tongue, that we don't swear, we don't backbite, we don't lie. All these things here we control, and we don't cause any hurt to anyone with the tongue. Al Muslimu man salim al Muslimuna min lisani is first, and then min lisanihi wa min yadihi. O kama qal alayhi salatu wassalam. And the tongue is referred to first. And this means, and there is also an interesting point here, that this hadith, they says that our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum says that in this hadith, if a person does it from only the kitabs, the translation, the understanding, from internet, he will go astray. He will go completely, because what are the zahiri alfaz? That a Muslim is that person who does not inconvenience any other person, any other Muslim, nor by his tongue, nor by his hand. So a person who inconveniences, what does that mean? That he's not a Muslim, which is a total wrong meaning. So until you don't have a ustad who will explain you, and that ustad from his ustad, from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that yeah, that ustad will add and put in brackets and say, a perfect Muslim. If you do inconvenience any person, you cause injury, harm to somebody, doesn't mean you've gone out of the fold of Islam. We're not Mu'tazilas and Murji'as, and that for everything out of the fold, like Salafis also, for every small thing out of the fold of Islam, out of the fold of Islam, taking everyone out. That is not the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, the correct understanding, that a perfect Muslim is he that won't harm anyone. So if you do harm, you're a Muslim, but you're not a perfect Muslim. So that is also, and also in this hadith it comes, a perfect, now if you understood that part, a perfect Muslim is he who does not harm another Muslim. So one Hindu asked Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh, according to this hadith then, it's permissible to harm the non-Muslims. You can rob them, you can hit them, you can do what you want to, because this hadith didn't, it said you mustn't harm other Muslims. Again, till you don't have an ustad, not the internet and not kitab alone, but you have a ustad who will tell you that why only Muslim has been mentioned here and not others, because a Muslim normally stays where amongst other Muslims. These day-to-day matters are with Muslim people all the time. That's why Muslim has been referred. Otherwise, it comes clear that we are not allowed to harm any other person. And forget any other person, it comes clearly in the hadith, we are not allowed to harm an animal. Not only an animal, the environment also. And in this, Allahu Akbar. One time, Shah Masihullah Sahib, Hazrat Manana Shah Masihullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was in Lodium. He was the guest of one senior person. They showed him his room, everything ready, how prepared the bedroom for him. When he went, in the morning when they went and fetched Hazrat, they found he slept on the floor, on the carpet. When they asked him, he said that, I saw a cat sleeping on the bed. And it was having a peaceful sleep. And I said, who am I to wake up the cat and disturb its sleep? Then I can sleep at the bottom, and your 7-sheel carpet is more than enough for me also. And I slept very comfortably with no problem. So this is that a Muslim is he who won't disturb even an ant, who won't even disturb an animal also, harm and injure even an animal. That is a perfect Muslim. And there is a lot of detail in this. So that is what is a perfect Muslim. So to understand this, that you need, you cannot understand deen, na kitabo se, na waazo se, na zar se paida, deen hota hai, buzurgo ki nazar se paida. Deen comes from staying with buzurgs. In fact, on the subject of ikhlas, when our Shaykh Damat Barakatum discusses it, he says, main ek baat tajruba ki kehta hoon. I'm saying you, telling you one thing of my experience of my life. Puri zindagi ka tajruba. Aur sirf mera tajruba nahi, sare buzurgo ka tajruba. All the buzurgs say. Aur Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali us par qasam kha ke farmate hai. And on this talk, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali qasam, ke jab tak ke buzurgo ki jhootiya seedhi nahi karoge, till you won't stay in the company of buzurgs, ikhlas paida nahi hota. Sincerity in the true sense, we can think I got sincerity. But whether it is, whether you got a photocopy or you got the original. Some photocopies also are such color photocopies, you think is the original. Eh? So whether you got the photocopy or you got the original, you might not know. Eh? So sincerity also, you might have the photocopy of insincerity. And you are thinking that I got sincerity. But in the meantime, it was just a carbon copy. It was a photocopy. It wasn't a real thing. And by Allah, fake things are not going to be accepted. Money also, with jali money, fake money, that won't be accepted. When it's put in the machine and tested, rejected. The genuine will be accepted. So is our ikhlas, that also, and we'll have to check it also by buzurgs. The checking machine are also the buzurgs, and to make it genuine, that also we'll have to stay in the company of buzurgs. Otherwise a person might, the whole life he made effort of deen, he worked for deen, he built masjids, he did what and what, but there wasn't sincerity. And all of that will be rejected by Allah if there isn't sincerity. That one of sincerity in front is most important. Otherwise our amal are zero. It is sifat that makes the amal valuable. So then we discussed about the eyes, the roza of the eyes, roza of the tongue, roza of the ears, our cell phones, the musical tones, etc. Then roza of the stomach, the food that we eat, and that is also extremely important to see what we eat. Then together with that, roza of the other parts of the body also. The hands, legs, the mind, the heart. You keeping roza, everything, but you're signing a wrong statement. You know it's a false statement. A doctor giving a certificate for a person that you can take off from work, and he knows that he's not well, he is well, but just so that he can take off, you are signing that certificate. You are reading 3 suparas Quran Sharif also. You are making tahajjud also, but you're signing that wrong document. So then also, your hands, you are using it wrongly. You are anything else, you know this check, there isn't a payment for this, but you're signing the check, and you're making that payment. Whereas the payment is not, it's not warranted, it's not right. It hasn't been authorized. It's not a right payment. So anything, with your legs, walking also. You're the manager in your shop, you're the owner, and a young beautiful lady comes, and one of the salesmen is serving her. Now what shaitan puts in your mind? You must look after your customers properly. Let me go and check whether he's serving her properly or not. Now all this walking of yours using your legs, it's why you are going. If it was an old man that came, then you go in your office, deep in your office. Then you say, no, the salesman is there, well trained. They know exactly how to look after my customers. But because this young lady came, now you know, must look after the customers properly. Very important success of business, that see that you give customer service. You must give proper customer service. You must look after your customers. So all this, that walking of your legs and your hands, what they're doing, all these things. So we keep roza of that also. And the roza that we have to keep, that be conscious that we don't use our hands, legs wrongly, etc. And our mind, then that year also. We can be in atikaf, we can be in roza, but our minds can be working and fantasizing, for example, which is a common disease with people. We're fantasizing all haram things, etc. Thinking of all haram, a person is in haram. And when you're doing it, a thought that comes on its own is not haram. A thought just comes. that you are not responsible. And Allah hasn't made us responsible for things which we didn't do intentionally. A thought just came, and what thoughts come to a person? But when you realize, I'm thinking this wrong thing, whether it is about whatever, any other woman, whatever, you are thinking these wrong things, then now you still entertain, you are enjoying their thoughts, and you still carrying on with your story. You are still building. And this is also such a stupid thing, because when you are fantasizing and thinking, everything is in your favor. What questions you ask, what replies you get, and everything. It's just all, it's making you a hero and making you the greatest man in the world. All, and it's all just in thoughts. And thoughts is not even a shadow. A shadow is still something. A bubble is still something. But what is a thought? It is just nothing. And this a person thinks and he destroys himself. So to keep roza of that, whether it's in the mind, the heart, they work together. And whatever you are thinking, whatever you are enjoying, all these haram things, that the world is praising me, and sometimes not about women, about other things, that I achieved this, I did this, and you are just building your castles. And one time, Sheikh Chilli, somebody asked him to carry his ghee for him, to his house. So he took it, put it, I'll pay you 10 rupees for it. So he's carrying it, he's like a laborer carrying it. Now he started thinking, I'll get 10 rupees. With that I'll buy 2 chickens, day old chickens. I'll look after them, grow them up. They will become big, a hen and a rooster. They will have another 10 chickens. They will in turn, each one will have 100 chickens I'll have. Then I'll have so many chickens, I'll sell them. I'll get money, I'll buy goats. Then I'll buy sheep, then cows, then I'll have a big farm, and then after so long, I'll build a big house. All this, the geese on his head, and he's thinking, planning all this on his way. I'll have a big farm, and then I'll build a big house, then I'll get married, then I'll have so many children, then I'll have grandchildren, then one day I'll be resting on the bed, and my grandchild will come and say, Daddy is calling you, supper is ready. And I say, hey, I'm still busy. And he shook his head. And then all that ghee fell down. And then the owner got very cross. By 100 rupees ghee. You say, you worried about your can of ghee and your 100 rupees. My generations and generations are destroyed. So this thoughts of a person, that a person thinks all the time, that I'll do this, I'll become a big mufti, and I'll make a big darul ulum, and I'll become the Shaykh al-Hadith, and I'll be a mufti. All these thoughts which are playing in a person's mind all the time. And worse it is, if it is of haram a person is thinking. All haram things, etc. So all this grows out of that also. Live for the present, what you are in now. We are in namaz, we are not thinking of namaz. And in the namaz we are doing what and what in our namaz. Hey, where and where? In 1 minute, where we gone from one place to another place? Tayyul ard. That all have got hasil already. The first musalli, as he starts namaz, he's got tayyul ard, means that you can not only move, you transport people in 1 second from where to where. And in 4 rakats of namaz, a person where and where in the world, what work he's doing, now he's at work, now he's at home, now he's at that place, where and where isn't he all the time. So roza of this also, and it can be done. And a person makes effort to control his thoughts also, he can do it. And then the least that will happen, you'll get saved from haram thoughts. If others still some thoughts come, they will come. But you'll get, if you make an effort, you'll get saved from haram thoughts. And a person who is clear in his mind and who is clear in his heart, that person lives a wonderful. And a person who is a confused person, then that is what? When lot of thoughts come to a person. Some thoughts are good also. Like for example, Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayh. It was famous that he used to stutter. But it wasn't stuttering. It was actually when he started bayan, the amount of thought, points to talk on. And then he wouldn't know, must I speak on this point or must I speak on that point. so many points. So it appeared that it used like a stutter on his tongue. But Allah put so many thoughts. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, to make bayan, Hazrat says about himself, used to say, that I don't prepare any of my bayans. I make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and then I sit down. And whatever mazmoon subject Allah gives me, that is what I speak. I don't prepare any. And Hazrat should explain this, that a person who has got only a glass, so only so much water, so much, but if there is a pipe with the glass that is attached to the jug, so as the water will go down, it will fill again. And if the jug gets empty, finish. But if the jug is connected to the bucket to the reservoir to the river, river to the sea, that water will never get finished. So if you connect it with Allah Ta'ala, your mazameen won't get finished. And you'll have so much mazameen coming, you won't know which one to speak, which one to leave out. And it will appear that you are forgetting, you are stuttering, etc. But actually, all those mazameen are coming all the time. So the connection, if it is with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So in the same way, once so even the thoughts, good thoughts also will come. Like in bayan, must I say this hadith, that ayat of the Quran, that waqia of that happened, which one to say it were now? And by the time you finish the other one again is gone out. So good thoughts also. And if we learn to keep roza of our thoughts, and also one rule is everywhere there isn't a vacuum. If the right thing is not there, the wrong thing comes in. If in our mind and our heart we haven't cleared it, then we're just allowing, then the bad thoughts will come. If we bring good thoughts, bad thoughts won't come. And you can think so much of good thoughts. In fact, Maulana Muhammad Ahmed Sahib Pardabgari Rahmatullah Ali, he said a beautiful poem, Nisbat Usi Ka Naam Hai, Nisbat Usi Ka Naam Hai, Ke Unki Ghali Se Aap Nikalne Na Paaye. What is nisbat and connection with Allah? That even if you try to leave the thoughts of Allah, you can't leave it. You are just so caught in the thoughts of Allah that you just can't go out of the thoughts of Allah. Unfortunately, our condition is such, even in namaz, where the most thoughts we should be concentrating on Allah, we don't even think about Allah. But if you have connection with Allah, and once you have that connection with Allah is such that you can't then do without Allah Ta'ala. Because you are all the time in the thoughts of Allah Ta'ala. All the time you are seeing, for example, to zahir hai, aur laakh parde mein hai, oh Allah, wherever I look, that I only see you. I don't see anyone else or no one else. And at the same time, you have kept yourself hidden. But whose work is all this? The minute a person has got little bit of ma'rifat, reality, he'll know any and everything in the world is only by Allah's command. One time our Shaykh came out from Jami Masjid, he finished Fajr namaz, and then as we were coming towards the Darul Uloom, all the Kakhiso, all this area which is here, and all the houses, everything, Hazrat looked at it and said, look at Allah's Qudrat. How all these people, their housing Allah is seen to, that they are living there, all their needs are being seen to. They are Muslim, all, most of them are non-Muslims. But in there also is Allah's Qudrat. The rising of the sun, the setting of the sun. If one artist, you prints a beautiful canvas, the size of your whole bedroom wall, the sun rising, there's a river flowing, and there's a mountain, and there are some ducks there, and the birds flying, and he's such a good artist, it looks like real on it, it's real. And in fact, if you focus some lights on it, it really looks like a real scene. And you pay how much for it? For that one canvas, how much won't you pay? But Allah, every morning, is making real scenes. And that artist also just copied Allah's, the original. His is also a photocopy. His is a duplicate. It's not the original. Allah is giving the original every, and yeah, you're a rich man, very wealthy man. So you can pay for that canvas 250,000 rand. Half a million rand you can pay because you're such a rich man. But on the original, free for the whole world, Allah Ta'ala has put it. And then yeah, no matter how real it looks, but it's not real. It's just static. It's just fixed to that one. That bird is flying for how many years, but it's still just there. And that duck is drinking water for how many years, but it's still just drinking there. But Allah's real scene is real life all the time. And Allahu Akbar, if you look, especially when we make Fajr at Jami Masjid and we come here, and sometimes what beautiful, when as the sun, every second it's coming up more. So the rays of the sun are becoming brighter. So those clouds which were purple, now they change to mauve. Now they change to another color. And those clouds are moving also. The beautiful scene is changing all the time. And what if it is over the mountains, over the rivers, etc., or setting over the sea, the moon, the sun. We went to Sri Lanka in Jamaat very many years ago, and that was also ajeeb. When we were going, we had to travel from Madras to a certain port. It's small, it's only to get the ship to that port. No people live there, right on the seashore, on the beach. There's a station, it's only, from there we had to go walking to board the ship. And all the sea sand, the beach sand, which is loose, and carrying all our goods, our power's worth also, walking in all that. And then we had to get into a small boat in order to get into the big ship. And when we had to climb the big ship, a rope ladder. And Atta with her burqa and everything, and we got our bathing also, got our baggage also. We were young those days. Anyway, we climbed, and if you fall, you fall in the sea. And not shallow sea, because that is deep where that ship, it can't come to the shore, because here it's shallow, so deep. Anyway, when we came back, again the same way we had to come. And there was one person, Allah give him jazaya khair. He said, you people also going to Madras? We said, yeah, all. There is nowhere else you can go from here. You only can go to Madras. So he said, you go to board the train. It's leaving now. I'll buy your tickets and I'll come. So we went. We just got onto the train and the train started moving. Anyway, it moved a little bit and the railway lines over the sea. And then it stopped on the sea. And it was sunset. And what a scene it was. Allahu Akbar. How Allah Ta'ala showed that beautiful scene of the sun setting there. So who made all this? So Allah Ta'ala. So use our thoughts for all this. See all these pictures. Take these files out which are in your heart. And see Allah's Qudrat. And everyone, I just mentioned this one of everyone, Allah has shown so many beautiful scenes, which shows the great Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوْقِنِينَ. In the whole earth, for those people who have developed the quality of iqan, that yaqeen, and that comes from sohbat as-saliheen. From those people who have got Allah's ma'rifat, you stay in their company, you will get iqan. Then in the whole earth, you will see Allah's signs. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوْقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And in yourself, the greatest proof of Allah's existence and the greatest proof of Allah's kamali qudrat, His greatness and His perfection and His beauty and His kindness is you yourself, insan. And mainly in that, it is all in your brain. So use your brains for this. This month of Ramadan, develop your quality, your potential which Allah has given you. Develop in that way and see what an arif you will become. What an ashiq of Allah you will become. One Ramzan is enough for this. One little bit of thinking and pondering on this field is enough to make you Allah's ashiq. And then consolidate it by zikr. Like you work on your computer 4 or 5 hours, and then when you go to exit, it says save, delete, and you went to delete all your so to save it is with zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Then all what you have done gets saved. Scientists and astronomers, all of these, what things don't they know? So great things, but it doesn't take them, instead of taking closer to Allah, مَا زَادُهُمْ إِلَّا بُعَدًا. They're going further and further from Allah. So much of ma'rifat, but that ma'rifat is not taking them closer to Allah, but increases them in going away from Allah Ta'ala. So this is where sohbat and zikr will play. Then cover it up now, make it more, protect it more with our ibadat. With all our ibadat, then all these things will remain more stronger also. So this is what Allah has given us. So make our rozas complete and perfect. With rozas of the hands also, rozas of the legs, of every part of the body, the mind and the heart also. Engage this also, get our direction correct to use. These are great, great powers. The mind, the power of the mind, Oh, philosophers, what were books they've written on the power of the mind and what the mind can do and how people in mesmerism and all these things, how they control the minds of other people. And some people, the mind has got power. And also Allahu Akbar. Some person asks our buzurgs, many times this is quite common, that to make a jinn ta'abi, that a jinn, well, you make, he must, so he say, we are not in this world to make jinn ta'abi. We are here to become ta'abi of Allah. We are here to be the slaves of Allah. Don't make another person your slave. It is haram to make a free person your slave. Whether it is in human, according to Shariat, who becomes a slave, that is quite in order, he is your slave. But even to make a jinn your slave, and to make it, to take away his freedom, and to make him work for you and make you your slave, these all stories are all rubbish. Don't even pay any attention to all these things. And these people, what their fake stories, unbelievable. Hey, one time we had some work to be done at home, with the carpenter. So the carpenter came and told the little children at home that he's got how many jinn. And he told them that your father also got jinn. He's got two jinns. What jinns we got? But this what these people do in order to impress, they tell other people that I see on your forehead something. And I see this and I see so many jinns with you. One of our students graduated from here. He came one Ramzan, he's spending time also here. He said that, so now how many jinns are becoming Muslims? We send them to Nizamuddin to spend time there. We send them for Umrah. So I told them, send a few to Israel also. They sort out all our matters for once and all. That you got so many jinns and they becoming Muslims and they going to, they are going Merkaz also, mashallah. You're sending them for Umrah. Just a few of them, just send them to Israel. One Mufti came here, Mufti Saab, actually, of Bangladesh. He was known famously as Mufti Jinn. And he should do Allahu Akbar. And the cues by his, where he used to treat the people. And who you can think of, big, big ulama, Sufis, Tablighis, whoever you can think, man, woman, everyone, and cues. So he, and what he should, funny all his stories used to be. And he should bluff the people, he should say, every day I go to Bangladesh to teach Bukhari Sharif. Then I come back again here. So at a later stage, he came to me here in the office. He told me, I want to go UK now, and for my visas, if you can give me a letter to support my application. So I told him, Mufti Saab, you go every day Bangladesh. What you need my letter for? You go to UK, you don't need passport, you don't need aeroplane, you don't need ticket, you don't need visa, you don't need anything. But how gullible our people are. Allahu Akbar. One person who came from overseas, he said, the most gullible public I saw in the world, South African public. It's amazing how we become so gullible with all these things and how good people get involved in all these things. Don't worry about it. We have to be simple bandas and slaves of Allah. And our guide is the Quran Sharif, the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And even in our tasawwuf, and Allah reward our Shaykh billions and billions of time, Hadrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah, all the stories of karamats, of flying in the air, and knowing of the unseen and all these things, they took it right out of this. And our tasawwuf, what is our tasawwuf? To fulfill Allah's command on the tariqah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is tasawwuf, to follow the sunnahs, all that, not to have powers. People are very keen to have powers. I got this power and I got so much jinn and all that. That person is nothing but far from Allah Ta'ala. And the stories of this, there is no end to the stories. What funny stories. And people believe it and become so impressed with all the stories. If you see today our good ulama, if we have to hear somebody flying in the air, some buzurg, everyone will become mu'taqid. But that is no achievement. A fly also flies. A mosquito is also flying. Bird is also flying. So you should go to the mosquito, to the fly, and say, I want to become bayat to you. Such a buzurg, I didn't see a buzurg like you. You fly in the air. This is no buzurgi. Flying in the air is no buzurgi. Walking on the water is no buzurgi. To practice on sunnat and paband on sharia, which are the greater buzurgi. And that is what our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But shaitan puts in our mind all these distracts us from the actual cause and he puts us in all these things. And generally people also think this is the great Buzurgi. That is no Buzurgi whatsoever. That has got nothing to do with Buzurgi. Buzurgi is to live according to Allah's commands and the way shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us tawfiq and guide us to righteousness and make us understand the truth inshallah.